Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. Hanging out with me today is my pleasure, as always. We got good friend Michelle Goodman back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle is the author of The Anti 9-to-5 Guide, a practical career advice for women who think outside the cube. And she has a new book coming out called My So-Called Freelance Life. And she's talking about anybody who's self-employed, especially in, like an independent contractor of any kind. And she's our good friend, Michelle Goodman. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. When you say freelance, see, a lot of people, when they think of freelance, they think of like a freelance writer.
Right.
But the truth is anybody who does anything, whether you're not tethered to a major corporation or really even a small business, my friend Rich Galen says he's a freelancer. He calls himself a charmed quirk. He said he's the prime number.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's any sole proprietor or any independent professional,
right,
working for themselves.
I was a consultant for a number of years.
Right.
And it was just me and my Macintosh.
Right, exactly.
And my laser printer.
Yeah, for many, the overhead's very little. I mean, once you have the reliable computer and internet connection and all the, little office peripherals in place, I mean, bookkeeping, design work, web work.
It's a lot easier to be a freelancer today than it was back in the day, so to speak.
I think so.
Started in 92, didn't you?
I did.
I started in 89. Actually, I kind of started before that, but really, back in those days when you and I first started, it wasn't as easy to be a freelancer because we didn't have all the connectivity that we have now.
Exactly. I mean, and also there weren't as many freelancers and it wasn't as known. But yeah, it was harder to find your people on the web.
Right.
I mean, other freelancers to...
There was none of that. Nobody knew anybody no way to connect, really, or very limited way to connect. But in those days, you had a telephone, some cell phones,
mm-hmm.
but I was also home-based in the early days.
Yeah.
And that really put some people off because, back in those days, it wasn't cool to be home-based.
Oh, I know. I remember going to parties and people saying, come on, what do you really do all day long? How many hours of Oprah have you watched this
right.
week?
I bet your house is clean all the time, isn't it?
Actually, it's not.
But that's what they'd ask. The thing that I did that really helped me, and I learned this from somebody else. Somebody else gave me this tip. He said, get up every morning and put your clothes on as if you were going to a meeting.
Yeah.
Go to your workspace and stay there and act like you are in an office downtown. And I started doing that in the 70s when I was a teleworker for Xerox. I worked a territory for Xerox back in the 70s. And that was when I got that advice. And even if I wasn't going out for that day or if I wasn't going out very much that day, I would still get up and put my coat and tie on and go to work, even though I was staying home.
Wow, the coat and tie.
Oh, yeah, back in those days. Yeah, back in those days you had to do that.
I'll tell you what I do. It's a variation of that. I have work pajamas. So I change from my sleeping attire to my comfortable, very comfortable work attire. But at least it's something.
But you know you're not going out all day, and
right.
at least you make a change. Well, do you actually you don't wear the bunny slippers though, right? You leave those in the bedroom, right?
Sometimes in the winter I might wear the bunny
sometimes
slippers.
You wear the okay.
it's but what you're getting at is you know, treating it like a job and making a schedule.
Make a transition.
It's very easy to just start and say, if you don't have obligations in the evening, if you don't have a family to feed every night or something, it's very easy to just say, I'll wake when I wake and I'll work whenever I start, and that's just about the worst thing you can do.
But a lot of freelancers don't work virtually. You know, some freelancers, they may, part of their day may be virtual and working in the office or at home or whatever, but part of their day may be going out and calling on customers.
Right. Part of the days are in meetings, and some freelancers are independent contractors who work at a company.
Right.
Sometimes the same company for weeks on end. So, yeah, it's...
When we come back, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Michelle's going to talk to us about how to be successful as a freelancer. Maybe also how to become a freelancer. How about that? Would you like to do that? That's an interesting choice. I've done it. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till, actually. 43 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website's smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things that we do here, including the show and the blog and the newsletter and the archives and the brain trust, et cetera, et cetera. Lots and lots of stuff. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Check that out and get your small business answers right there. And instantaneously, by the way. Michelle Goodman is our guest. She's the author of The Anti-9-to-5 Guide, and her new book is called, which is not even out yet, folks. We're just getting a little bit of a taste of it right now, My So-Called Freelance Life. It'll be out in the fall, right, Michelle?
Yeah, in October.
All right, so we expect you to launch it on the show. We're kind of launching it right now, but we sure expect you to come back and talk to us some more about it. When I was a consultant, here's how I got started, Michelle, and I've told my audience this before. I got canned because my whole division got downsized in 1989 on May 21st at 8:30 in the morning, 1989.
Nice.
not that I remember the exact moment or anything.
Not that you're bitter.
5 minutes later, I had prepared a business card that said Jim Blasingame and Associates Business Consultants. Because I said, you know what? That was actually my second time to be downsized in 18 months.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And so I had a laser printer. I had a Mac, and I laid out a business card on my PageMaker program, and we didn't have perforated paper back in those days. So I literally laid out 8 to a sheet of cardstock. And by 8:35, 40, 45 or so, I had my business started, and I had my business cards, and I was cutting them out with scissors.
That's great.
And I before noon, I was in the marketplace handing my card out, talking about my new consulting business. And I said, you know what? I've been helping my employers run their businesses. I think I can help small businesses do this. And I had a customer by the end of the day.
That's great.
Now, but the thing is, though, is that my motto was, I'm a vice president you can rent.
Yeah,
now
that's great.
To me, I think that's an attitude that a lot of freelancers could have, don't you? I'm a design professional you can rent.
Yeah,
I'm a writer. I'm a copywriter you can rent. Whatever it might be.
Yeah, an expert for hire. You know, you bring up a good point about the layoffs. I mean, I think, I don't know, people are probably very pressed for time as it is trying to keep their lives together these days, but. The economy is a little shaky, as we all know, or a lot shaky, and it wouldn't be such a bad idea to do a consulting job or two, if you could, just in case the bottom falls out, you know, you'd have the freelance work to fall back on. You'd at least have something, you'd have an example of having been a consultant that you could show.
Right. So all right, give us an example of how that would work.
Well, you wouldn't be freelancing for your company, but if right. as long as there's no non-compete clause
right.
preventing you from freelancing, you know, maybe if you're a coder or a web designer, you do a website for someone you know who needs it, mm-hmm. and perhaps you collect a little money in the process.
Right.
But
right.
You
got to be careful though that you're not competing with your customer, with your employer.
Yeah.
As you
I
say.
Mean, yeah, and then if there is that non-compete issue, then at least be collecting the work samples and beginning on the most interesting projects of the job you have, if you're interested in becoming freelancing, and building up the portfolio and building up the contacts and socking away money that you'll be using mm-hmm. during those early months.
See, this is something that I recommend to people too, and I think you're right about this, Michelle, because you got people who want to have their own business, but they might not know how to do that. And you know, I had to do this because I had no choice. I was thrust into it. But it also kicked me in the pants, Michelle, and made me do it. Of course, I've never looked back since then. We're coming up on 20 years next year.
Right.
But for a lot of people, I recommend that they, if they don't have to, that they not jump into the deep end all at once, that they put their toe in the water, that they try things out. One good thing about doing it that way is if you make a mistake, you've made a small mistake.
Right, and I recommended that in my books too, definitely, because you don't start. I think we've talked about this before too. You don't start. You don't open your doors for business and have a full schedule
right.
the next day. I mean, you might, if you were you handing out your cards diligently
right.
for 8 hours a day, but a lot of people don't have the time
mm-hmm.
on top of a day job to, you know, fill a client roster and be ready to go with 40
hours. What about pricing? How do you? This is a big deal for freelancers.
Oh, yeah.
How much do I charge? This is the biggest deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal, and I mean, there's a lot of research you can do on the web. If you're a designer and you join the Graphic Artists Guild, you can get all kinds of information from a professional organization like that. In fact, that organization has a great book they send all their members on pricing guidelines, but anybody can buy it through their website. But, you know, talking with other freelancers and getting a sense of what they're charging, depending on their experience level and their location, and the way you meet mm-hmm. them, again, is through professional associations and listservs.
Hold on to that thought, Michelle.
Okay.
We're going to come back. We've got more to come with our good friend Michelle Goodman. Ladies and gentlemen, she's the author of The Anti-9-to-5 Guide, and her new book coming out in the fall is My So-Called Freelance Life. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Michelle Goodman. That's Robert Cray bringing us back, a little bit of blues bringing us back. Michelle Goodman is the author of the Anti-9-to-5 Guide, and her new book is called My So-Called Freelance Life, which is coming out in the fall. Michelle, give us your website, please.
It is www.anti9to5guide.com.
All right. So check that out. They can find out more about your book there and how to buy it and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. And it's available, you know, in any bookstore and on Amazon.
Check that out. Let's talk about pricing, freelancing. Not so much how much to charge, but how to think about charging.
Right. I know a lot of people think, I should charge, you know, say I was making the equivalent of $30
right.
an hour at my day job. That's what I should make as a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be further from the truth because, number one, you don't spend 40 or however many hours a week you work on the billable work that you're charging your clients for. There's
right.
a certain amount of time where you're doing the business infrastructure, marketing, invoicing.
Right.
You know, record keeping, and then we're paying our own benefits, which
right.
includes, you know, health insurance, retirement, even the, it, you know, people refer to it, and actually the IRS refers to it as the self-employment tax, which is really just the...
Both sides of that tax, the employer and the employee.
The employer half of the Social Security. You know, for all those things, you need, you want to factor them all in and bump your rate up considerably.
Well, here's the way I think about it, Michelle. When you need to, and you can tell people this. You're not only paying for my time, you're not only paying for my expertise, but you're paying for my availability.
Yeah, exactly.
And the availability is worth it. I hired somebody to do something for me. She has a job, but she did a little project for me, and I told her, I said, how much I owe you? And she told me how she was pricing it, and she priced it based on how much she was making per hour at her employer. Mm. And I said, you should charge me more. And I paid her 40% more than she asked me for, because I said this is not the same thing as, I'm not your employer, I'm paying for your availability. You've done something for me that I couldn't find anybody else to do. It's worth more money. And I didn't let her charge me for that. I didn't let her charge me the lower price.
Well, good for you. We need more clients like you.
Well, but the thing is, it doesn't. And see, when people go to any small business, and they try to beat them down on price, you know what you're doing, folks, is you're minimizing their ability to be here next year and to be there for you next year.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be able to charge enough to be able to stay in business. I get so irritated at people who go to a restaurant. They sit there in the nice air-conditioned, comfortable seat, and they complain about the prices.
Yeah, then why don't you just make your food
like,
at home?
Like, oh, man, I could... Yeah, exactly. Like if you went to the grocery store and I say, well, let me ask you a question. Could you replicate this situation like this? You know,
yeah.
People need to realize that a business has to be able to capitalize itself to stay open, and the only way they can do that is by charging people enough money. And a freelancer is the same way.
A freelancer is the same way, and it's sort of odd that some people don't think freelancers are small businesses, but they are. They're a business of one, and a lot of times they're subcontracting to other freelancers and employing, you know, other freelancers, sometimes newer freelancers. So,
but Michelle, freelancer, heal thyself. Most freelancers don't even know that they're small business owners.
I know, but we're changing that. But then, you know, another way to look at the pricing is, you know, your employer, if you have a staff job, if you know, say they're paying you $25 an hour as part of your salary, they're charging their clients maybe three times as much to account for all the overhead. And
right.
Small businesses obviously have to do that too, but I think a lot of freelancers have a hard time asking for the money. You know, or they'll get mad at me, or they all sound so pushy. And
well, here's what I tell people. When you go to the grocery store, do they have a hard time asking you for the prices there?
Exactly.
When you get your phone bill or your electric bill or your car payment, do those companies have it? Do they feel any remorse for billing you? You gotta get up on your hind legs and say, this is what I have to charge to stay in business.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah, it's your mortgage or rent money.
Absolutely. When people want me to give them a discount, I say, I'll tell you what, when the grocery store gives me a discount, I'll pass it along to you. Hey, Michelle, give us the website one more time.
It's anti9to5guide.com.
Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks for having me.
That's the title of the book that she has for sale right now. And you can pre-order the other one, right? My So-Called Freelance Life?
That's right, on Amazon.
To pre-order that one, folks. Thanks, Michelle. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that even a dead fish can float downstream.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.